Our second reading is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, starting with verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So have you ever wanted something so badly that you would give up anything for it and that you'd do anything for that one thing? For Carl Fredrickson, the answer to that question is yes. In the very opening scenes of Pixar's Up, after they go through the whole montage of him and his wife as children and growing up, when he's an old man, you see, Carl will stop at nothing to pursue his late wife's lifelong dream, to have their house on top of this place called Paradise Falls in South America. To make this dream a reality, Carl leaves his life behind in the United States and attempts to fly his house with thousands and thousands of balloons down to South America. And throughout the film, you see time and again, Carl shows that he is really willing to do whatever he needs to do to make sure that this dream becomes a reality. You see, in certain scenes, he starts throwing all of the possessions that he had in the house out of the house so that the house would remain floating. He's willing to do whatever he needs to do, even if it will kill him. Similarly, in today's reading, Jesus tells two stories of a man and a merchant that will do anything, even sell all that they have, in order to get this hidden treasure and this pearl of great value. So these last three parables we just read are a conclusion of Jesus' parable discourse that he's been telling to the crowds and also specifically to his disciples. These last three that he shares are specifically given only to his disciples, not to the crowds in general. And these first two, that the parable of the hidden treasure in the field and the pearl of great value, are both closely related and connected to each other. The first, the kingdom of heaven, is like a man who finds treasure hidden in a field, so he goes and sells all he has so that he can buy this field. Similarly, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, upon finding this one singular pearl of great value, sells all he has so that he can buy that one pearl. But when we're considering what the kingdom of heaven is like, it's important to know what the kingdom of heaven is in the first place. So very simply put, we can always think of the kingdom of heaven as this. The kingdom of heaven is God reclaiming his creation through the person and work of Jesus Christ. So God reclaiming his creation through the God-man Jesus is like a merchant or a man who finds a treasure or pearl and goes and sells all he has in order to purchase said object. Now, the historical and most common interpretation of these two parables that you'll hear is this. The man or the merchant represents you and me, Jesus' disciples, all believers. The treasure in the field and the pearl of great value represents Jesus. So the parable with this interpretation is predominantly one about discipleship. When someone encounters Jesus, they are moved to render everything else in their life as less important than Jesus. Which is why the merchant and the man go and sell everything they have once they find these items of great value. Likewise, for disciples of Jesus, there is nothing greater, of greater value than Jesus. So while it's true that Jesus should be put above everything else in our lives, and that encountering Jesus does lead to a joyful response to surrender everything else that we have, we can very easily be tempted to take these parables too far. In both cases, the item of great value is one that is purchased and received through the action of the man or the merchant. Because of that alone, it can be very easily concluded that we actively do something in order to earn Jesus. That we surrender all that we have in order that we can receive Jesus. But the reality is, none of us could possibly ever sell enough to be able to purchase such a prize as Jesus. There's no physical thing that any of us have that could ever lead to gaining the spiritual kingdom of God. It would also be problematic that Jesus is suggest that Jesus is saying to us that we must do anything at all in order to receive him. Scripture is consistent in its message to us that the grace of God through Christ Jesus is a gift that is given to us through faith. So what if the man and the merchant aren't us? What if the man and the merchant is actually Jesus himself? So if both these parables are not actually about true discipleship, but rather about what Christ has done for us, then the man and the merchant no longer represent us. Instead, Jesus is the man. Jesus is the merchant. And as Jesus explained earlier in the parable of the weeds that we covered last week, the field then represents the world. The treasure hidden in this field, the world, and the pearl of great value then is none other than Jesus' disciples, you and me. Jesus' disciples, which include you and me, are so valuable to Jesus himself that he willingly humbled himself. He took on human flesh, and he kept himself in complete obedience to his Father. We rightly call this act of Jesus emptying himself and becoming human his humiliation, all willingly done on account of the love that he has for you and for me and for all his disciples who believe in him. Jesus gave up everything, including his own life, in order to purchase you and me. It's exactly as St. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1. Knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And St. Paul similarly says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you are not your own, for for you have been purchased and bought with a price. We have been purchased and redeemed through Jesus' blood. He gave his life for our life. Now, that's not to say that any of us on our own are some great hidden treasure or some pearl of great value. We are broken and spiritually dead apart from Christ. But the amazing thing is, he sees us as broken and spiritually dead. And that's exactly what he laid his life down for in the first place. That's exactly what he spends his blood to purchase, a broken and dead sinner. And yet, because Jesus has made you and me his own, we are indeed his treasured possession. So after these two parables, then Jesus concludes his parable discourse with this final one about the net thrown into the sea. And it has nearly the exact same meaning as the parable we covered last week, the parable of the weeds. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that is thrown into the sea and catches fish of every kind. When the net was full, the men brought it to the shore and separated the good fish from the bad. So this parable serves as a reminder for us. And Jesus' disciples then and today, that good and bad, evil and righteous will always coexist and be present in this age. The promise of the parable, just like the parable of the weeds, is that this problem will be taken care of. There's a time coming where evil will be completely and utterly destroyed and removed. It will be removed from the righteous. And you and I are counted among the righteous, not based on our own merit or based on anything that we've done, but solely on account of Jesus who bought us with his blood. He has given us his Holy Spirit through the waters of holy baptism. And through this Spirit, we are able to cling to and believe in these promises we've been given. We cling to them in faith, that we have indeed been purchased and won by Jesus himself, that Jesus' righteousness is our righteousness, and that evil will indeed be removed forever. Faith, which is only given as a gift by the Spirit, is trust that these words and promises are indeed true, and that Jesus is exactly who he has revealed himself to be. It is precisely this faith that we've been given that differentiates the good from the bad, the weeds from the wheat, the evil from the righteous. Who has faith and who does not? You and me and all who believe and have faith in Jesus through the Holy Spirit are part of the true church. The true church that's invisible now but will be visible in the age to come. And what I mean when I say that the true church is invisible now is this. Since evil and righteous people coexist everywhere and are interspersed together throughout the world, the good fish are hidden among the bad. So the true church, true believers in Jesus, who have been united to Jesus through their faith, they remain invisible, unable to be seen through human eyes. It's like I said last week with the parable of the weeds and the wheat. We are unable to judge human hearts. So we have no way of knowing who is part of the true church and not. We have no way of knowing who has true faith and who does not. So once evil is separated and removed, the once invisible church will be made visible as Jesus' prized possession. So that's what we look forward to and cling to and anticipate in faith. So hearing Jesus tell these parables of the man finding the hidden treasure in the field and the merchant finding a pearl of great value, we might conclude that Jesus is what we should be willing to sacrifice everything for. But how much more of a comfort is it to know that, like the man who sold everything he had to buy this field, to get that hidden treasure, Jesus spent everything in order to purchase you. Like the merchant of fine pearls, Jesus willingly spent all he had in order to get you and me, which to him is the pearl of great value. And like Carl Fredrickson in the movie Up, Jesus is willing to give up all his possessions and make sure that he is able to win you and me, even by giving up his own life. That is the depth of God's love for you and for me, that Jesus would suffer and die so that we could have life. There's nothing that can or will ever separate you from the love that God has for you through Christ Jesus. It says Luther taught us in his catechism, "This same Jesus has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Thanks be to God. Amen."